We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, Pacer Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Setting the Pace here on PacersTalk.net. I'm your host, Alex Golden. You can follow me on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA, and you can follow my co-host at _FACCI. It's the one and only Michael Jerome Facci. Facci, what's going on, brother?
Hey, Alex, always great to talk Pacer basketball. Even better to talk it after a win, unlike last episode where the Heat kind of handed it to us. You know, we weren't really expecting a win against Houston, but a win's a win, and I love it.
Wasn't really sure what to expect, especially with Brogdon and both worn out, but the Pacers got some great production off the bench. Miles Turner played pretty well yesterday, and they were able to hold off a late fourth-quarter rally from James Harden, who ended with 45 points and 17 rebounds. So, you know, I'm not really sure if the Rockets were trying to win or not, but they definitely didn't look like a Fosh.
No, they didn't. It was a very strange game. We obviously knew Westbrook wasn't going to play. Pacers did the right move, benching T.J. Warren and Malcolm Brogdon, let them get some rest. But I'm not going to lie, I kind of thought we were going to squander that 10-point lead at the end. It got really close, and we knew. We spoke on the last episode. James Harden, I think he had like 44 points the last time we played him. He was going to get his. It just so turned out no one else on the Rockets pretty much did anything. You got Jeff Green, who's just older than dirt, put in 14 points. And other than that, no one else really proved to be much of a threat. Felt like one of the big stories, Edmund Sumner. Alex, I feel like, you know, you've been calling for, you know, you loved what you saw out of Sumner a couple games ago. I feel like he was the bright spot of yesterday.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when he's hitting his three-point shot, because he's got one of the ugliest shots that I've seen from a Pacers guard in a long time, and that's not a knock. It's not very pretty, but hey, if it's going in, who cares what it looks like? I mean, I used to say the same thing about Kevin Martin. The guy had one of the most odd-looking shots. It was ugly, but it went in. So, hey, Edmund Sumner, if you're going to hit threes, you can be very effective, because defensively, I think Edmund, while he's a little bit, you know, small in muscle, he's quick and he's slender and he's able to move and he's just very lateral. So I like Sumner. I think that he proved last night that he could be thrown into a playoff game and maybe give you some minutes to give some guys some rest. I mean, I wouldn't count on him for 15, 20 minutes, 24 like you played last night. But hey, if he can play a short amount of minutes and let these guards get some rest, I'm all for it. I mean, hard not to want to play a guy who goes 2 of 3 from three, 6 of 11 from the field for 17 points off the bench.
Yeah, so that was it brings me to one of my main points from this Rockets game was basically the question, the golden question of when you're talking about Edmund Sumner, can he be effective come playoff time? Because, you know, make no mistake about it, last night was one of the best games of Sumner's career. I believe the last game of last year's season against the Hawks, I think he had a really good game, but you know, 17 points on 6 of 11 shooting. It was something that just, he was the positive thing that stood out. There's a few other positives, but, you know, 24 minutes, that's not going to happen. But if we're talking about playing him even a third of that, 8 minutes, do we think that, you know, he can maybe be effective? Sometimes we see him a little bit, you know, all over the place. But, you know, we know McMillan's going to shorten the rotation. Feels like Sumner's that guy that's been in and out of the rotation. So curious to see if he can maybe provide at least a little bit of a spark at times, whether it's for a few minutes at a time. What do you think?
Well, the good thing with Edmund is you know you're going to get hustle and energy. Mm-hmm. He's similar to McConnell, where he brings that type of, you know, that type of energy off the bench. And I think if things are getting sluggish, Edmund's the guy you call in there. I mean, I know McConnell's probably the first guy, but if you throw both those guys in there just to try to play some, you know, full court defense and bring the tempo up a little bit, I'm all for it. Don't want to count on him too much because we haven't seen it consistently from him. So I'm not going to take a Rockets team that wasn't playing great defense yesterday as my reason for why I think he should get a lot of minutes. But I do think that he definitely has potential to be a spark plug in a playoff series.
Yeah, no, I really do. I don't want to, you know, have him bite off more than he can chew. So I feel like if we're going to go with, you know, keeping it maybe under 10 minutes, I like that. But I think that he's also, when you hope that we bench, you know, and rest the starters against the Heat, I feel like Sumner's that guy where we can see if he can do it two games in a row. And if he can do it against the Heat, I'd feel better giving him more minutes than that. But that was one of my takeaways from the Rockets game. What did you have in mind?
Well, you had, I think you had listed this as one of your takeaways, so I'll just steal it and we can talk about it together. What we saw from Justin Holiday and Doug McDermott yesterday was unbelievable. And those guys needed to see the ball go in the hoop. 6 of 7 for McDermott for 16 points and 6 of 10 for 18 points from Justin Holiday. While they both shot well from beyond the arc, McDermott hit all three of his, and Justin went 50% going 4 of 8. And those guys, I believe, they had 7 made threes yesterday, Fauci. They had 7 made threes prior to yesterday's game throughout the entire bubble. So they match what they had done the whole entire bubble. I mean, I know, like I just said, Houston played bad defense, but I'm hoping them seeing the ball go in the hoop was a bit of a confidence booster, and maybe they can get some more shots to fall in against Miami, because who knows? I don't think there's going to be a lot of star players in that game on Friday. So, yeah, this is another opportunity for them to continue to get shots to go in. But, yeah, I like what I saw a lot from Justin Holiday and McDermott yesterday.
I loved it. I feel like, just as you mentioned before, these were the two players that I had been asking about for the last few games, is we need to get them going. And I think that this was like the perfect confidence boost for those guys. I mean, the 18 points for Justin Holiday, this is someone who had been very much struggling. I mean, six made shots yesterday. He had 6 made shots in the past 4 games combined. So talk about a guy who just, like you mentioned, needed to see the ball going in that net. I think that as a shooter, someone like Doug McDermott, as a shooter, I feel like just one game can change it all. I know it sounds weird. There's no science behind that. But I just feel like when you're a shooter, sometimes you just need that one break, that one good game where you could be good from there. Hey, maybe it's just one game. But curious to see about a guy like McDermott, where they mentioned that he had been battling some knee soreness, missed a game, you know, earlier, missed the Phoenix game. So curious to see if he would play in the Heat game, maybe to get a few shots. I think that would be valuable. But regardless, I mean, those guys last night, those two and Sumner were the ones that stood out the most of, like, wow, you know what? Whatever happened there on Holiday, you'd like them to get on track again. Those guys, we needed to get on track. And, you know, McDermott, a plus 18 in the game. You know, I know Justin Holiday started, but let's also talk about the bench played really well yesterday. Everybody was a positive on a plus-minus rating. While all starters were negative, Justin Holiday minus 2, we're not going to dock him for that. He played a really good game.
Well, I think a lot of it comes down to when James Harden was on the floor and when he wasn't. So that to me is a major thing, because, I mean, I'm not even sure. I think, Harden played 35 minutes. So in those 13 minutes, I think the Pacers probably did do a lot of damage, because really, if you look at who was on the Rockets yesterday, they didn't play super well. Their starters were pretty bad. Their bench was atrocious from the field. Jeff Green was the only player to make more than one shot off the bench. So, and he went 5 of 12, which is okay shooting, but not great. It's under 50%. So, not sure how many threes he shot. He shot, looks like he shot 4. So he went,
missed all 4 of them.
So it's like he didn't have a good game either. But one thing I will say, when it comes down to Doug McDermott, just real quick, playing with that second unit in the playoffs, I think it's going to be harder for him to get buckets. I would like to see him maybe sub in early for an Aaron Holiday type or a Brogdon type to let them run with the second unit a little bit more, and then let Doug kind of just be that spread four with the starters, because if you have guys that can get to the basket and kick it out to an open Doug, that's going to be a better look for him than trying to be the primary source of offense with Sumner, McConnell, Justin Holiday, and Goga. I mean, there's not a guy that can really generate offense there, and I think having guys that can get to the basket and create up the dribble will help open up the three-point shot for him.
Yeah, I like my McDermott catching and shooting, you know, just going, I do not like him doing too much. I think McBuckets is great when he can literally just catch and put it right up. I thought that even he had at least two makes, you know, pretty much in the paint, where he was just catching McConnell assist and kind of go right up with it. So I love that. I think I like your idea right over there, because, man, him trying to be a go-to guy is like, this isn't Creighton. You know, this isn't Creighton McDermott where you're putting up 28 points per game. You know, we want you to be nailing three-point shooters. As I mentioned 100 times in the past, this is the guy that we signed at 1201 on free agency a few years back. I want him, the three-point shooter, the one from earlier in the year that was shooting about 45%. So if we can get him going, it's going to make this Pacers team a bit more dangerous, because I knew coming to the Rockets game, you were never going to shoot as many threes as the Rockets. You weren't even going to shoot 75%. As many threes as the Rockets. They put up 57 threes, which is just absurd. They shot a terrible percentage, 16 of 57. Pacers at 31 threes. I kind of hoped they would have put up a little bit more, but in the end, they made it work. So a win's a win. You won the rebounding battle. Only thing is, you did it against a small ball lineup as well. So
yeah, there with no center.
There wasn't many takeaways from this game. That's the thing. It's no. Like, did this win really make you feel like, hey, the Pacers got back on track? It felt like one of those games where, like, yes, there was meaning to it. You still wanted to win to be able to preserve the 5 seed, but it was just kind of one of those wins where, you know, if you win, you win. If you lose, nah, whatever. We're moving on, you know?
Yeah, it kind of felt like one of those. Games where it's late in the season, like late in April, and you kind of know where you're going to be locked up at in the playoffs. So you don't really care, and you just kind of try to go out there and get a little run in, maybe get a little confidence going. That's what we saw last night. And I know your last point, you definitely want to talk about the man that put up 26 shots yesterday. So I will let you take the floor and talk about that, because yesterday's game to me didn't really mean much, but except I thought it could be a nice opportunity for players to get a little bit of a run and that don't usually get a massive run.
Yeah, sure. So one of those guys that did put up a lot of shots, Victor Oladipo, 26 shots, something we had not seen from him, you know, in a bit. I had some of those games recently, he had been around like 8 shots, 10 shots. So it was interesting to see 26 shots. And I wanted to get your opinion on it. Now, Alex, I heard that Reggie Miller used to do this, so curious to see what you think. Right when playoff time's coming around, Reggie Miller would see a major uptick in shots to get ready for the playoffs when he knew that he was going to be needed much more to score the ball. And 26 shots for Vic. I was wondering, do you think it's to say, hey, I need to let this ball fly, because come playoff time, you know, it typically the team with the best player is going to win? Or do you think this was, hey, no Brogdon, no Warren, you know, obviously I'm going to have a bigger role tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I mean, the Pacers definitely needed him to try to create, because they didn't really have anybody else to help create besides Aaron Holiday. And we saw Aaron had a really rough game last night, 1 of 11 from the field. And so, I mean, it was an opportunity for Victor to kind of go out there and say, hey, let me see what I can do. So, ultimately, yes, without Brogdon, without Warren, he's going to have more touches. There's nobody else that can really create off the dribble and be that dynamic in that starting unit. So it was good to see some of the shots that he took. I know he was 2 of 12 from 3, 7 of 26 overall, so a really bad percentage. But there were some really nice moves that I saw from Vic. I like that he tried to dunk in traffic. It just means that he's starting to get more confident in what he can do. And come playoff time, we know that his shot, you know, his shot attempts are going to be down. But he's already ruled out for tomorrow's game, too, with a bunch of other starters. We'll talk about that in a second. But getting up 26 shots, plenty of time to rest. I just really wanted to see him go out there and play. And one thing, he led the team in minutes by a lot. 37 minutes yesterday, Fudge. 37 minutes. That's quite a bit for
maybe
a bit.
And he said it after minutes. The
yeah. Well, he said it after the game that he hadn't played that many minutes since he's been back. So to me, what that means is, hey, they were trying to maybe get him ready to play extended minutes for the playoffs, and I think a little bit of that was tired legs, and that's probably why he shot the ball a little short.
I think so. I felt like I was leaning towards the trying to get him ready for playoff time type situation with the 26 shots. I think of all situations, the shooting percentage doesn't worry me as much in a meaningless game. 7 of 26, I mean, let's be honest, it's about 26%. So that's not good. I mean, between him and Aaron Holiday, they struggled. But in a game where you happen to win and they struggle, it doesn't matter. You know, you walked away with a win. So I was happy to see the extended minutes, the extended shots. I'm getting a little bit worried about if it can't get to the free throw line as much. Zero free throws in the game on 26 shots. Kind of interesting. Yeah. But, you know, you want to see a little bit more. But, hey, he escaped the game healthy. That's what matters most.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. He's healthy, and hopefully he'll be healthy for the playoffs. You know, I saw Taz Mellis from the No Dunks podcast, formerly with the Starters, if you guys didn't realize they got picked up. He said, well, does this mean that Victor might sit out the playoffs now with TJ Warren getting plantar fasciitis? And I'm just like, what are you talking about, dude? Like, that's kind of a relevant tweet. So if you saw that, he tweeted that yesterday. I was not really understanding why he said that. So he said, guess we're not going to see the best of Victor Oladipo this season. Any chance he pulls out of the playoffs? And I'm like, you know, then you have, of course, Heat trolls in there saying, well, by game three, he'll be on the Heat bench. But, yeah. You know, it's just, I don't think Vic is fully right. I think he's still trying to figure things out. Figure out what he can do with himself since coming back from a gruesome injury. I mean, we know that's a really tough injury, and not very many players have come back from it and been like the same player. So he's trying to work at that, and I would say it'll probably be until next season until we see Vic feeling more confident in the things that he can do. I think right now he's still trying to test it out and see how capable his knee is at, you know, handling hard hits, you know, maybe guys stepping underneath his legs when he tries to shoot. It's a big scary thing for him, and I understand it.
It is. I've tempered expectations because, you know, like we talked about before, he's trying. Guys, he could have sat out. He could have, because at the end of the day, his health is the most important thing to him. That's his moneymaker. But here he is. Here he is with the playoffs, you know, everything on the line. He's ready to rock. I firmly believe that he is trying to do his best. Like, I don't think that he's being lackadaisical in any approach like that. He's trying. I think the confidence is something that's going to come back over time. But, hey, for now, he's here. So let's temper the expectations a bit. No, he does not look like the Vic of 2 years ago. But that's what's going to take time. So let's not be too hard. You know, we have to call a spade a spade. If he shoots 7 of 26, you know, we have to acknowledge, hey, it wasn't a great shooting game. But, you know, there's going to be more games to play, and let's see what he can do in the playoffs, because we don't need him to necessarily be the old Vic. We need about 75% of that. And if we can get that, I think the Pacers, you know, they could be very competitive against the Heat, despite what we saw during the regular season.
Yeah, we'll have to get back to that Heat preview. I know we have a really cool special coming out on Pacers TV, and we've got a lot of great Pacers writers and you know, Chris Denary hopefully will be on it, Jeremiah Johnson, Kevin Bowen, Tony East, Mark Schindler, Tyler Smith, so Kent Sterling, of course, will be on it, and maybe Derek Schultz. So we have quite a few guys coming on to try to help preview this series for us, but don't want to get too much into that, Foch, because I know that we have some other coverage that we want to do with that, but last night's game, of course, was just another chance for the Pacers to get better. Miles Turner played well with 18 points, 12 rebounds. You know, didn't shoot the ball efficient, but he was good enough and had a double-digit rebounding game, which was nice to see. And the Pacers did win the rebounding battle, and I do think that makes a difference. when it comes to winning that game. If they don't win the rebounding battle, they probably end up losing that game to the Rockets. But just real quick, for tomorrow's game against the Heat, Friday's game against the Heat, if you're listening to this Friday morning, I'm sure you've seen it on Twitter, but no Oladipo, no Warren, no Miles Turner. Goga Batadze is questionable. The Heat also are resting some guys. Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic, Bam Adebayo. Gabe Vincent and KZ Akpala are all out, while Jay Crowder, Derek Jones Jr., and Andre Iguodala are questionable. So, you know, it's going to be the Duncan Robinson, Tyler Hero show versus the McConnell McDermott show. So, not too much there for tomorrow's game, but let's just get these guys rested and ready for that playoff series next week.
Completely. You never want to throw the towel in on a game completely, but this is that one game on the year where I don't care what the result is. I just want these guys to leave the court healthy. If I can root for my guys like Alize Johnson and Brian Bowen and Naz Mitrelong and those guys to have, you know, some good games, some good performances, that would just be fun. You know, it's like seeing your kids kind of just have a lot of fun right in front of you. I feel like those are the youth, the guys that we're really rooting for to just get some minutes and just get out there. If we can see a strong performance from Goga, I feel like that would be awesome. Because
yeah,
we're holding on to little things like a block here or there, a rebound. But we want to see Goga, you know, can you get us like double-digit points or rebounds or something like that where we could put a stamp on, you know, he made a difference in this game. So that's what I'm excited to see. That's what I'll be looking for.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that matters is the Pacers do win. They do get the home court advantage, which means we'll get to see our fans pumped in to the game for a few more games in the Heat. So that's the only bright side to it, and we get to see the Pacers logo instead of the Heat's logo out there on the court. So I guess that's the only positive. So I'll be rooting for the Pacers tomorrow. Hope they pull that win out. And, Botch, I mean, I think this wraps up our recap and preview, so let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and hear what Kevin Bowen has to say about the Nate McMillan extension. All right, everybody, joining us right now from 1070 The Fan is Kevin Bowen, and we're going to talk a little bit about Nate McMillan's contract extension. So KB, you know, it was a surprise early Wednesday morning, but what were your thoughts on the extension for Nate McMillan?
Yeah, the timing probably a little bit surprising, but I think the Jeff Van Gundy, Zach Lowe rumors that I know you were on pretty early last week, I think that probably tipped Kevin Pritchard saying, all right, let's get ahead of this and go ahead and announce, you know, that we have already signed an extension with Nate. So, you know, it's kind of two thoughts immediately pop into the head. One is this team continues to overachieve in the regular season, and Nate McMillan has been thrown an awful hand at really every season, from an injury standpoint, from a saga standpoint with Paul George, and even a little bit of Victor Oladipo, and just how poor that roster was early in his, you know, start here in Indiana. So I think, how can you fire him based off a regular season record? I don't think there's any way you could do that. That was the first thing that kind of popped in my head, especially when you look at, you know, the individual success a lot of guys have had: Collison, Boyan, you know, T.J. Warren, Domas, you know, some of those guys. And then secondly, you also think back to just the elephant in the room of his playoff resume and kind of really what his teams have been defined by, and this is whether it's Seattle or Portland. His teams do really well in the regular season, make the playoffs more often than they don't. Typically not an upper four seed, and then bow out in round one. That's pretty much been status quo. Again, no matter what stop, you know, Portland, Seattle, or Indiana. And I guess now the question is just, is this the Pacers, you know, maintaining a coach that we already know about, of a guy that, you know, at times maybe runs some guys in the ground during the regular season or puts too much emphasis on the regular season, then you get to the playoffs, and that advantage that you have of playing harder and showing more effort that every other team, you know, kind of shows effort and plays hard in the playoffs. So now that advantage you had during the regular season, you know, kind of bites you a little bit. So those are probably the two thoughts on each side of it that popped into my head.
Hey, Kevin, did you think the Pacers might have played it maybe a little too safe by, you know, bringing McMillan back before the playoffs and kind of hitting for the singles and doubles rather than potentially seeing what else is out there. Because, you know, widely regarded around the league, Nate McMillan is a really good coach. But it could have been a big gamble to go and bring in someone else when it's not like there's a lot of great coaches out there. So do you think this was more of a playing it safe move, or is it more of, hey, I really want to see this team have one full run at being healthy and a one-year extension, not too bad?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's probably a little bit of both. You know, I think in the shortened off season with some uncertainty there on just how long it's going to be and what that'll look like, that probably played into it. But I also think there's a lot, and Kevin Pritchard mentioned this in the press release, I think there's a lot of truth to, again, what does this team look like when fully healthy? Obviously, there's a question of will you ever get there with, you know, when you look at guys like Brogdon and his injury history, and then Victor and just where he's currently at, although I think he's shown very good health here in Orlando. But, yeah, I think that played into it a little bit. I think the biggest thing that if I were Kevin Pritchard and I were talking to Nate McMillan and giving him this contract extension, it would be kind of an ultimatum of saying, all right, you need to evolve as a coach on the offensive end of the floor, and you need to be open-minded and maybe changing up how you approach the regular season. And yes, you've had really nice success, but you know, we want success, and this would be Kevin Pritchard talking about the Pacers, we want success in the postseason. You know, just making the playoffs isn't enough. And I know for a franchise, there's the wide debate of the Simons just want as high as floor as possible, and they'll be content with making the playoffs and, you know, coming out and maybe not taking as many risks. So I think if you're Kevin Pritchard, you have a great relationship with Nate and know him full well, you've got to make sure that you push his buttons a little bit as a head coach and say, okay, 16, 17 years into this, don't get complacent. Be more open-minded, try some new things, maybe change up your staff and find a new, you know, offensive-minded assistant, if you will. That would be an absolute must for me.
Well, one thing that I thought was interesting, Kevin, was when Nate McMillan was talking with the media, he basically said that, you know, he hasn't really had a fair chance to prove what he can do with a healthy roster, so he thought that it was only fair that he got extended for that reason. So, you know, we talked about, or you talked about before, how the contract being short was an interesting dynamic. So I'm curious, does he kind of know that he's got to, you know, have success in the playoffs to really consider himself the long-term answer here for the Pacers, or do these short-term contracts really not mean that much?
I think it's your first point. You know, and this is the elephant in the room. You know, I've talked about it on our airwaves. You know, this is a Marvin Lewis type of playoff resume, and that's, you know, not a compliment. I know they've been the lower-seeded team, you know, many times, and have been the underdog more often than not, but still, you got to get over that hump. And whether that's, you know, getting more of a home court, or if it's, again, taking more of a scaled back approach and trying some different things during the regular season to where you get in the playoffs and you have a little bit more potency with your approach. Because, you know, something I really think that we have to focus on with the Pacers is in this market, you know full well you're never going to be the most talented team. You just aren't going to be able to attract the type of free agents that other markets are going to be able to offer and ultimately sign. So where can you create other advantages? And the Pacers and Kevin Pritchard are big believers in culture, you know, medical staff, facilities, rehab, like that can be a big advantage in the whole recruiting game. Great. And I totally agree with that. Secondly, a big advantage that shouldn't matter from a, you know, how if you're a waterfront city or whatnot, is you can have a coaching advantage. You can have that play to a strength. And so I think that is a big key as well. But for Nate McMillan, the elephant in the room is the lack of playoff success. And really, for this Pacers franchise, I mean, you are approaching, you know, if you don't win a series this year, I think it'll be six straight seasons that you haven't won a playoff series. That's a pretty long drought for this franchise. Obviously, the Jim O'Brien days play into a drought that you had. But before that, it had been, you know, probably back to the 80s to looking back to that long of a drought. So I think not only for Nate, but for this franchise, if you want to be a three-year extend guy, a long-term guy, whatever, it's an absolute must to win a playoff series. Maybe not necessarily this year, of course, now that you're extended, but certainly next season.
You know, Kevin, anytime Jim O'Brien and Marvin Lewis are getting brought up in the same, you know, few sentences, you get a little scared. You get a little bit worried. But, you know, if – but I love the analogies, by the way. But if the Pacers get swept for what would be the third time in 4 years in, you know, in conjunction with that not winning a playoff series in 6 or 7 years – will the perception of Nate McMillan change around the league? Because for a while it feels like, oh, he's flirting in that coach of the year running. You know, not quite that, but you put him in like a top five for what he keeps doing, helping overachieve. But would another sweep potentially change the perception and have it now known this man can't and won't win in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's another good question. You know, I feel like people can have their opinion of Nate McMillan as a head coach, and the opinion is, and Jeff Van Gundy, I thought, laid it out pretty well on the podcast of saying, you know full well you're going to get incredible effort. There's a standard on both ends of the floor that they play to. You know, you're going to have consistent success in the regular season, but I don't know how you look at the playoff resume, and now we're 16, 17 years into him being a head coach, and I think it's 8 or 9 different playoff appearances. And, like, when does that become the norm? And when does that creep into the playoff perception? Not to bring up Marvin Lewis again, but it certainly did near the end of that tenure. So I think this is just kind of who Nate McMillan is. And unless you all of a sudden change that, I don't know how the perception could be any different, to be honest with you. So maybe that disagrees from what, you know, national people think. And obviously he's coached Team USA and whatnot, and, you know, deserves to be, I think, a respected coach, and being over 500 in the regular season is a nice resume. But if you were to get swept, I mean, boy, you know, that's kind of been the thing, is usually they're somewhat competitive in the playoff series. Now, they haven't really been outside of, obviously, the 7-game series with Cleveland a few years back here in Indiana. You've had 2 sweeps, like you mentioned. So I don't know how the perception would be any different. And I think Nate has actually hinted at this. I remember, I think it was a Pacers golf outing back in September, he talked about this is a prove-it year. And I think he mentioned, like, it's getting over the playoff hump. Now, you know, some factors have obviously happened that have, you know, maybe lessened their chance of winning a series without Domas. But still, there's an opportunity. No home court involved. We'll see what seed the Pacers are, but I still look at it as an opportunity to get that monkey off your back a little bit, and then next year, you know, try to ride that momentum a little bit deeper into the playoffs.
Yeah, absolutely. I think right now the best way to sum up Nate McMillan as a coach is, you know, a high floor, low ceiling. A guy that is really going to get, you know, get players to play better, but how does he make adjustments and out-coach these, you know, top-tier coaches in the NBA when it comes to playoff matchups and, you know, different fundamental things like that. I mean, he's not proven it yet. And I think this is a fair shot at letting him prove it with a healthy roster. I was a fan of the extension in regards to Nate McMillan getting a chance to prove himself with a healthy roster. But that does not mean I think he's the answer for this team to go far. I just think that he deserves another shot to try it. But we know you got to get going, KB. So thank you so much for coming on. And we'll have to have you on next week and maybe get a little bit lengthier of a segment here if I don't have so many obstacles to go through.
Definitely, guys. I'm excited about a playoff series and breaking down, you know, Pacers seat and whatnot. So we'll definitely have to do it next week.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
See you.
Awesome stuff there by Kevin Bowen. Once again, thanks for coming on, KB. Always appreciate it, and we can't wait to have Kevin on our podcast every Thursday. So, Fachi, that's going to wrap up our episode today. I had a great time talking with you. Can't wait to see the Pacers and the Heat Friday afternoon, 4 o'clock. Going to be a fun game. Any final thoughts before we head out?
Last thought, you know, Pacers finished the year 44-28 as of now. If they win, you know, they'll go 45-28. So, essentially, you know, if the Pacers won 5-5 in their last 10 games, they would have hit 49, way more, you know, one game more than the 48 for the third straight year. You know, I've been saying, can you give us more than 48 wins? It seems like the Pacers were finally on pace for that 50-win season. Would have been great. Instead, you know, due to being robbed a few games with everything going on in this world, the Pacers would finish at 44 or 45 wins. Alex, I assume, you know, we got to chalk that up as a regular season success given the injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, I know we have to, but I think we can label that as the great unknown of how many games the Pacers would have won. And, you know, it's exciting. I'm glad the bubble has worked. I'm glad the Pacers have played well in the bubble. And I'm hoping that T.J. Warren makes the all-NBA bubble team. So other than that, I got nothing else to say. Make sure you follow Facci at underscore F-A-C-C-I. Make sure you follow me at Alex Golden NBA if you aren't already. And if you like what you're hearing right now, make sure you like and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you want to listen to your podcast. Leave us a rating and a review. That always helps. And make sure you download those episodes. Don't just listen. Download them. That way, if you ever don't have Wi-Fi or your connection's bad, you can just listen to Setting the Pace. You don't have to worry about having Wi-Fi, because I know sometimes I don't have great Wi-Fi or great service, and if I can just get that thing downloaded while I do have Wi-Fi, I can listen to it anywhere I'm going. So if you like Setting the Pace, follow us, Setting the Pace 3, over on Instagram at Pacers Talk. We will talk to y'all next week. Pacers playoffs are back, and we're just excited, everybody. So peace out, Pacer Nation.
Let's go, Pacers.
Jerome!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.